of America, presented by Plymouth Rock Assurance. It's Toucher and Rich on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Sports Hub, we are brought to you from Minneapolis, Minnesota, thanks to Plymouth Rock Assurance. Boomer Esiason each week checks in with us. He's from CBS Sports and the NFL on CBS, and he is in the Big Y world-class market share. Wow. That's exciting.
That's right. Let me just tell you something.
Did you wake up this morning, please? Come on, man. You know, you're taking this too lightly. You're taking it for granted. I know eight times is, like, ridiculous. It's an insane number.
You just shook him on purpose.
I know, but you got to wake up. Let's go.
Wait a second. Compared to...
I shook him on purpose.
He looks awake this time. Comparatively to years past...
Yes.
You have to admit... that I look much more awake than I have in the past.
Yes, you do. You do.
I'm not hungover.
Not yet.
Well, tomorrow.
There's plenty of time for that. There's
plenty of time to get that going. I went to bed at 8:30 last night.
Right.
So I'm good to go. Now, I will hear nothing of, and you can call me ugly because that's true, but I will hear nothing of being hungover or disheveled.
You did this on purpose, didn't you, though? Because, I mean, you were nervous that it would be another Boomer meeting, and he would just sit and laugh at you like you did.
I was nervous about getting the week started feeling like... crap.
like you did in Phoenix. Because Phoenix was awful. You were awful. I mean, you came right from the bar right to the radio show.
Phoenix.
And I mean, it was ridiculous.
It was bad. We went on at, what was it?
2 hours
in the morning.
Before.
Yes, yeah. In Phoenix. And so we talked to you at like 3:30.
Yes.
And no human being should have to do that.
Well, you know, it's the life we lead in morning radio, right? I mean, it's crazy. People don't understand it, but, you know, I'm not going to complain about it because I love it.
Yeah.
And the fact of the matter is here we are at the mall of all places, the Mall of America.
The glamorous Mall of America.
And we are right in the right in the middle of the food court.
You came down from your palace over at Moose Mountain.
Yeah, I'm at Moose Mountain with CBS Sports Network. Yes, it's
Moose
crazy.
Mountain. Okay, so there's this like Nickelodeon amusement park in here. And that will become a live amusement park at some point. So Moose Mountain will be operational.
That's a putt-putt place. Like, but you're like sitting on top of hole number six over there.
I know that, but check this out. It's not going to become operational while I'm here.
Right.
It's going to become operational when Jim Rome is here because he'll be standing up there. He is just going to be so angry. It's going to be great.
What is up? Hole number six. Repping hole number six.
It's perfect.
Check it out.
Oh,
the
boy.
Faxes are in. All right. So here we are. And you have been in a Super Bowl before. And
it seems like so long. It's like the Patriots are the only ones that are in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, they're not
any longer anymore.
Right.
Right,
so we have to travel for them. But so when you were playing, it was a week up in advance, and now the teams are here. Wait, the Patriots come today?
They come today.
Yeah, they'll come today. We had the same thing. We had the two-week break.
We had the two-week break
as well, yes.
All right, so this week, and you're staying in the host city. What is that like? What are the responsibilities?
Well, you know, I there's more media responsibilities. I think the good thing for the players is that there's really not much to go out and get into trouble with. You can go to the warehouse district down in Minneapolis if you want. I don't think a lot of guys are going to be out given the weather and everything like that. So it's not Miami. It's not Phoenix. It's certainly not L.A. So I think this is a place for players to really just focus in on the game, which, you know, the Patriots have always done well. I don't think that they'll do anything that they haven't done in the past. And for me, I just think that, you know, they're a team that is they're already there at greatness. I don't know how you get any better than they already are.
Sure.
I guess just keep winning Super Bowls and just keep creating a legacy. So I think for both teams, you know, I think they'll be supremely focused because there's not a lot of things to take you away from really what the task at hand is.
Well, Brandon Marshall on your show the other day on Showtime, he was pissed. He was like, how could it be that all of these other teams can't figure it out and no one can challenge the Patriots? They do this over and over and over again, and he's blaming it on the league. Do you see that?
Is that he a part of the league?
Yeah.
I was sitting there going, really? Okay.
I mean, do something about it, right?
You got to lump yourself into that. I think there was a... you know, kind of like the perfect storm 18 years ago when Bob Kraft hired Bill Belichick. And Belichick won their first Super Bowl, obviously, and I'll never forget that game against the Rams. And you think back to that time and then the decisions that came after that. I think Bob Kraft recognized that Bill Belichick is a savant when it comes to football.
Mm-hmm.
And he recognizes players. He can find quarterbacks that he certainly found the greatest of all time, built around him. And then luckily, you know, I can't say enough about how Tom Brady carries himself. The distractions. Now, he's got this whole thing going on with the camera following him and all this other stuff. I didn't watch the first episode, but I mean, that's the first time that I remember something like this happening where it seems like it's piercing a little bit of what Belichick has tried to create here, a bubble around the entire organization and team. And it seems like Tom, by doing this, is piercing that thought process a little bit.
Why do you think he's doing it? There's a lot of speculation as to, because you're right, it's so opposite of what the Patriots have been all about. But do you think it's, because it doesn't seem right now in the first two episodes that it's a promotion tool for the TB12 thing. Because it's immediately what we first all assumed.
And it was
going to
be
a big infomercial. It'll probably get to
that. Yes, it will get to that.
But it seems almost more that he's trying to, like, let people remember him in a certain way, trying to change the narrative of how people perceive him, maybe?
You know, I think, well, you know, when we're players, we have a million people in our lives. And we have a million people telling us different things. And for the most part, you know, Tom has always been low-key, under the radar. Even when he's out with his buddies at the Kentucky Derby or at the Floyd Mayweather fight, I mean, it's still a low-key kind of thing. He's never really gotten in trouble in any way, shape, or form, so he knows what he's doing. It's kind of weird because I don't really see him promoting it during football time. You know, like, he'll be up there and he'll be doing a press conference and they'll be asking him about it, and, you know, he doesn't want to talk about it. He doesn't want to talk about it in that time because I think he still recognizes that that is football time.
Yeah.
And then if you start talking about it during football time, that's when Belichick would really have a problem with it. But, you know, there's probably a little truth to the whole ESPN article. There's probably some truth in some of this stuff. How could there not be?
Right. Yeah.
But I still think it's petty stuff. And the fact of the matter is you have two really focused individuals that are going to go for yet another Super Bowl victory, which, you know, I think they're going to get.
All right, so a lot of people, a lot of fans are considering coming here. You know, it's not the greatest destination. You know, it's not Miami or whatever. Yeah. But some Patriots fans are thinking maybe we should go because this could be the last one. Do you see that as being a reality, that this very well could be the last one?
You know, especially with Matt Patricia and Josh McDaniels leaving, that's something that hasn't happened since Josh got back. And you can't underestimate stability and doing things a certain way. I mean, the Patriot way is so in vogue that Mike Vrabel got a job. You know what I mean? So there are teams that are trying to recreate this particular situation in other cities. So I know how important it is. I think that there is something that tells me that Belichick would look at this as just yet another challenge,
right.
You know, just another opportunity to do it again. The one thing I will say about them is that they play in a division that's always seems to be stuck in neutral. The other three teams just can't get out of their own way. And maybe in a couple of years they will with the new coaching staff, and I'm sure the Jets will probably draft a quarterback high in the draft. Whether or not that quarterback will be able to go toe-to-toe with Belichick, only time will tell. But, you know, with Miami and New York and Buffalo kind of perpetually stuck in mediocrity, it really does give them an opportunity to get back again.
Are Giants fans pissed or happy that they didn't get Patricia?
I think at the end of the day, last year when they fired Jerry Reese, the general manager, and Ben McAdoo, I said immediately then they were going to hire Dave Gettleman as the general manager and they were going to hire Pat Shurmur as their next coach. And the guys at my radio station, you know, they scoffed at me. And I said, well, look, you got to understand something. There's a way every organization in the NFL does business, and the Giants have a very unique way of doing it. The Maras basically run the franchise, and if you don't know that, they're not going to be bringing in outsiders that want to do it the Patriot way. You have to do it the Giant way, and the Giant way is do it the Mara way. And I knew as soon as he met Pat Shurmur, he's going to say, I could take this guy to Wingfoot and play golf with this guy. This guy's going to be awesome. He looks like my son. And not. I don't want to question Pat Shurmur's credentials because he certainly has them. His resume is good. And you know, he failed in Cleveland kind of like Bill Belichick did. So I think you catch a little lightning in a bottle there. So I don't think they're upset that they didn't get Patricia. I think they're starting to warm up to Shurmur.
All right. So there's all these stories from back in the day. It seems that everything's changed because of social media. But you heard about the week before the Super Bowl. There would be players.
Yes.
That would go out and just get banged up before the game. I mean, there's been books written about some of these guys.
Well, the great story is John Matuszak, who saw a writer from Sports Illustrated he was friends with and spent about 2 hours with him in New Orleans the night before the Super Bowl. So after the Super Bowl, Oakland wins, and the writer comes in, and Matuszak goes to him, hey, when'd you get in town?
But you see, yeah. I mean, things have changed. Back when you played, did you ever hear about anybody?
Yes, my own teammate.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, so, you know, we've had Barrett Robbins with the Raiders. You remember that whole deal? He went down to Tijuana and got lost and didn't come back. He was. That's when they were playing the Buccaneers. And then you had, obviously, was it, the safety McMillan for the Falcons.
Eugene Robinson.
Eugene Robinson. That's right. Eugene Robinson. He had some. And we had Stanley Wilson. Stanley Wilson was the first of this kind. It was the night before the Super Bowl. We were in Miami. We were right across the street from Overtown. Overtown happened to be going through riots, and there were fires, and there were police all around our hotel. And I remember the cop telling me, don't take a left, take a right, you know, because they don't want you going to Overtown. So they moved us from our initial hotel, which was the Omni, to some clandestine hotel inland. And it was like a Holiday Inn.
Yeah.
You know, when we got there, this whole thing was supposed to be clandestine. There were like 5,000 people waiting for us. Somehow, you know, the word got out. But I remember I was sitting on the bus with Stanley Wilson, and I had my massage therapist down there for the week, and I always got a massage on Wednesday and Saturday. So I was saying to Stanley, would you want a massage tonight if you need one? He goes, yeah, I'd love to have one, you know. So I had set up my masseuse to go see him before we had our team meeting. We got to our team meeting, and he was late. He wasn't at the meeting, and Sam Weish got up in front of us and said, you know, guys, we're going to start the meeting a few minutes late. Nobody's getting fined tonight. We switched hotels. We're in a different room, and we're missing a guy or two, so hang on. So he left the room and went and found Stanley, and he came back, and, you know, he had tears in his eyes. And Sam was a practical joker. Our head coach was a practical joker, always wanted to cut the edge of what was going on. And he got up there, and he goes, I'm telling you guys, I can't believe what I'm dealing with right now. And I'm like, what the hell is he doing? You know. And then when he said the name Stanley Wilson, we all knew that he was serious, because Stanley had been suspended three different times because of drug use. And he was found in, either in his bed or in the tub, like in a drug-induced haze. And Sam went up there because the security guy went to his room. They called Sam. Sam and the running back coach went up there, Jimmy Anderson. And this was Sam's decision. This wasn't anybody else's decision.
Yeah.
This was Sam's decision. And Sam was confronted with a moral dilemma. And he basically said, you know, Stanley, you're not going to play. You can't play if you're doing this. And that was the night before the game. And Stanley was our short yardage back. He was a big part of our special teams. And he was a big loss for us. So that was a big thing that we had to deal with. And my man, Chris Collinsworth, right? So he stands up. He was in the earlier Super Bowl against the 49ers in Detroit, another cold weather Super Bowl, where the buses were late to the stadium because of the weather. That's a whole other story, right? Collinsworth stands up in front of the team and goes, guys, I'm telling you right now, this isn't going to be that big of a deal. Don't you worry about it. And I'm kind of paraphrasing. And he goes, we need to win this one for Stanley. And there was like a deafening silence over the room, like, win it for Stanley. Screw that. Sit down.
Not quite the reception he thought he was going to get.
He tried so hard, you know.
Wasn't my captain.
But I will say this. Well, we got on the field the next day. It was a real blustery day. The field was a mess. If you remember, Tim Crumry, our nose tackle, broke his leg like on the first series of plays, and he was our most important defensive player. Our defense played great. Stanley was missed. I don't think anybody gave it a second thought once the game started.
All those
things that could happen, I think this generation of player right now have been warned and know because of social media not to get yourself in trouble.
Okay, finally, there's this. I'm trying to find the video, but on the first episode of Tom vs. Time, which you said you've not seen.
I have not seen it.
Okay, there's one scene that stands out amongst the rest, and it's Alex Guerrero goes over to, you know, his trainer, the very questionable methods and stuff, goes over to his house, and he's giving him a deep tissue massage that he is beating on his leg so much that Tom's can't keep his leg down. It's almost like a natural reaction where he almost gets kicked in the face, just going straight from kneecap to butt cheek as hard as he possibly can, grunts everywhere. Is that normal? Are massages like that seen anywhere?
Not for me. Okay. I don't know what the hell that is. That's not for me, man. I'm telling you. You know, I marvel at Brady's ability to just stay focused. I mean, he's 40 years old. He's got beautiful kids, a beautiful wife, can do anything he wants in the world, probably has more money than you can ever imagine, yet he still is supremely focused on taking care of his body and playing football. And that to me is the most amazing thing. You know, right. When I hit 37 and my feet were killing me, I was like, I'm done, man.
Yeah.
I can't handle this. And I had two kids as well. So it's amazing, his attention to detail and his commitment to his body and to the game of football.
All
it
right,
really is.
Boomer Esiason, thank you so much for coming by. I believe we are the two shows broadcasting from here today.
Yes, well, it's okay. We're good. We're, you know, you guys are always here. So the good news is that I'm picking the Patriots to win. So how's that?
Are you really?
Of course I am.
Wow, okay. You were.
I had them winning in week one, but you know that was that's a slam dunk. That's well, easy.
Listen, you have. I mean,
the question
you
is, took a bold step. The question is, will they cover?
Here it is. Here it is.
All right, we see. Oh Jesus God. That's a little crazy.
You should hear it. It sounds like a porno.
Yeah, I don't hear it. It's okay. I'll meet you at the bar tonight, all right?
All right.
See you, guys. Always a pleasure.
Easy. Thanks. Appreciate it, Bob. All right, we'll be right back from Radio Row at the Super Bowl.
From the food court at Mall of America, Toucher and Rich, presented by Plymouth Rock Assurance on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I like it here.
I was just about to say the exact same thing. I'm really starting to embrace us being at the food court because if you don't understand how things are set up, usually on Media Row, is that you need 14 different crazy credentials to get to the area that's in a conference room that's far away from everything and anyone. And here, like, there's people all around. And this is early and this is on Monday. So I can't imagine what it's going to be like on Thursday and Friday when you have people like, you know, Drew Brees and, you know, all these different superstars of the NFL walking through here.
The squadrons of security.
Fans.
Everyone, just to get them to this location, will be carried by like five handlers to get them through the crowd to get here.
I got a bunch of stuff I got to do. The previous CBS Sports Minute was brought to you by Plymouth Rock Assurance. We are brought to you here by Plymouth Rock Assurance. And Dunkin' Donuts is the sponsor of this hour of the Toucher and Rich Show. And let me tell you this. Patrice Bergeron, who's on about a point of game pace, and the Toucher and Rich Show present Pucks and Paddles. It's the first annual ping pong tournament to benefit the Boston Bruins Foundation and the Floating Hospital for Children at Tufts Medical Center. Thursday, February 15th at Royale Boston. You can bid to play doubles ping pong against your favorite Bruins player and us and Zolak and Bertrand. VIP tickets are $200 and give you access to the autograph session with the team. I understand everyone's got the Super Bowl fever, but this is the best team in the NHL right now. General admission tickets are $50. For all the information to buy tickets, go to 985thesportshub.com/pucks. And we still have VIP tickets available, which quite frankly is a little troubling. But I'm hoping that these can sell quickly. Well, Rich, part of being at the Mall of America is it's the preeminent mall walking mall, I would imagine, in the world.
It's enormous. Yeah. And I mean, you just think about it, you could probably, I'm wondering if you go all the way around this thing, how many miles it is.
You're probably 40.
Yeah, maybe it could be. But all I know is that there are a decent amount of mall walkers. They are not of legend. It is true. And I'm talking as soon as it became 6 a.m. local time, they showed up. And they are they travel in packs. And so a few minutes ago, we saw a group of mall walkers walking by, and I thought I would speak to them right next to our broadcast. You can play it.
Hi, how are you guys doing? I'm from the CBS Radio. Very nice to meet you guys. We're here for the Super Bowl this week.
What else?
The big game. Would you mind if for just a moment I could talk to you guys about Minnesota and the Super Bowl? Excellent, excellent. What brings you here to the Mall of America this morning?
We're mall walkers.
Excellent. So this is a pretty big mall to do some mall walking, isn't it?
Oh, wonderful great place.
Which is great. What do you guys think about the Super Bowl being in town?
Wonderful.
It's a lot of excitement.
I wish we could have been in it.
But do you guys know who Boomer Esiason is, by chance? Do you know Boomer Esiason? Famous quarterback?
Yeah. Yes.
Have you guys seen him before? He's right over here. Would you like to meet him?
Sure.
Okay, excellent. He does the radio show. He's kind of fallen out of shape a little bit in his older age, but hey. Over here. He's doing a commercial right here.
I'm telling you this. Go into Mattress Firm.
That's Boomer Esiason right over here.
He has changed.
He has. He is part of the CBS Radio Network with us. And Boomer, could you come here?
Yeah.
Okay. Guys, this is Boomer Esiason.
Hi.
It's a pleasure to meet you. What's your name?
Bernie.
Hi. I'm Bernie.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Yeah. I have played in the Super Bowl.
You want to play this year?
Oh, I'm too old for that.
But,
I was close to an MVP, but then it all it all crashed around me. It took a while to get over, but here I am. I'm doing media and trying to get my life back together.
Well, you have changed considerably.
Yeah, I wear glasses now.
Thank you guys so much. Hey, and thanks for being so welcoming to our town. Boomer, you have commercials you need to do.
Yes, I have glasses.
Yes, I mean, how many shots at my weight can be taken at one moment? Do we want to bring Andre Tippett
in
here?
Yeah, we can do it now.
Do you guys want to do it now?
Do it now? Is that sound good?
Okay.
Andre, be ready? Excellent. Andre, what's up? How's
Andre
it going?
Andre Tippett.
The great Andre Tippett is joining us. Let's go ahead and clear some room for the man.
Hall of Fame situation happening.
How's it going, Andre? I'm Rich.
Of course, Andre Tippett, one of
right
the all-time
the
greats.
Yeah.
New England Patriots, as he joins us, thanks to Big Y World Class Market.
And Andre, if they haven't told you, we are the Patriots flagships. You are amongst friends.
Right.
You're not in enemy territory.
Here is here on behalf of K Jewelers, the number one jewelry store in America, and your trusted Valentine's Day gifting definition or destination. Now, Mr. Tippett, back in 1985... your Patriots were in the Super Bowl, and that was in New Orleans. And this is kind of a different time. People weren't on these Brady type of diets and things of that nature. were you able to go out? Were players out late at night during that, leading up to that Super Bowl?
We were similar schedules. You know, we knew enough to have fun up until a certain point. We knew the families were coming in on Thursday that. By that time, we're going to be on lockdown. Let's get our minds right. You know, I only had one opportunity at it, but I still remember everything, the details, like it was yesterday. But these guys got they got a nice setup now.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's amazing. I like to joke with them every now and then and go in the locker room and say, you know, you guys don't know how lucky you guys got. And I used to walk uphill, you know, both ways going and coming.
In the snow.
Right.
We practice out in the snow. We had to get in our cars to go buy lunch. And, you know, these guys are catered. They got the masseuse. They got the acupuncture.
They were putting you up at Best Western.
Holiday Inns.
Sure.
So, but it's amazing. Tom said it perfect last week. You know, can never take this for granted. And even from our standpoint, my standpoint as a former player who's fortunate enough to still be part of the organization, I know enough that this is at some point it's going to end. And I just hope it doesn't happen anytime soon. It's been amazing. I'm a defensive player, so I love Coach Belichick. I love the message that he sends. I love that old school way of football. I grew up that way. I played high school football that way. I played college football that way. And I would have loved to have had that opportunity. And I see him every day, and I'm always telling him, I said, Coach, I got one snap for you. I don't know what I'm going to do with it. But I got one snap for you. If you just let me put it, I'm going to grab somebody, and somebody's going to get shaken out there.
Put you in as a gunner and just let you take someone's head off.
Nuts.
Absolutely. But, yeah, and Tom, watching him, I was in personnel when we drafted him. And, you know, it's been amazing watching this guy play with a chip on his shoulder. All of us have used that, but he's really taken it to another level. I was pissed I didn't get drafted in the first round. I should have gotten drafted in the first round. I don't know what they were thinking about, but I used that to motivate myself to play as good as I could, to make those people who were hesitant look back and say, you know, we screwed up on that. Now, and then to see Tom do that, it's amazing.
Well, now, did Tom have that attitude coming from Michigan?
Yes.
Or did he develop that later?
Nah, he came in. He was, you know, when he walked through the door, he was a little hot under the collar. He thought that should have gone a little higher. But, you know, we all know why. You know, he didn't get the opportunity that he should have at Michigan. He loves Michigan. Mm-hmm. I think we all love our alma maters. But he didn't get a good deal there. And it was one of those deals that, you know, you're recruiting every hot quarterback every year.
Right.
So at some point, the promises that I made to you and I made to you, somebody's going to catch the short end of the stick.
Yep.
And I think I keep going after that best hot quarterback. So somewhere down the line, guys are going to be pissed at each other, and they're going to be pissed at the coach for recruiting him. And so, you know, you saw that with Tom and how they were playing, you know, a quarter here, and they put him in the fourth quarter to help win. You know, it was like, who wants to play like that? But, you know, what are you going to do?
Well, when he first came in to the Patriots, what realistically did you think his ceiling was?
I thought that he would have an opportunity to compete at quarterback. I thought that given the opportunity, he would be very competitive. I thought that he had the ability to, at some point, start in the league.
Okay. But it was the attitude that did that for you. Obviously, not his physical gifts, because he was slow as hell, you know.
He's a jock. He's one of those guys that, you know, believe in working out, taking care of himself. He was doing all of that, even though they've made highlight films and all that stuff now of him doing it. But he was a gym rat.
Yeah. Well, Andre Tippett, I've always wanted to ask somebody from your Patriots team, did the Super Bowl shuffle piss you off?
Yeah, it did. But you know what? It was kind of cool. You know, I just got off of, I just ran into somebody from the Bears organization the other day. And I still take my hat off to him. See Richard Dent, Mike Singletary all the time. You know, I laugh. I said, man, I don't think anybody could have beaten you guys that year. I mean, you could have put together an all-star team and still wouldn't have been enough to take those guys down. They were playing at such a high level at that time. And I would have liked to have seen those guys have a couple more times at playing in bowl games.
But that was the cockiest move in the history of sport, to come out with a rock video about you are the Super Bowl Kings. I think,
and just the lack of quality in the rapping.
And the rapping was so awful.
Just in how awful the rapping was.
Oh, it was bad. It was bad. I will get after guys that I know was in it, and I'm looking, I'm like, what were y'all thinking about? But you know, what are you going to do? They Super Bowl shuffled across the field in New Orleans,
it
man.
They backed it up. They did.
And they
you
put it on.
You guys had a lead. You had a lead. You were up.
We were. We should have ran the ball more.
You know, 3-0, and then ball control.
Yeah. No, it was interesting. You know, game football. I tell people all the time, it's not a game for cowards, and you got to be able to look in the guy's eyes, and you know who you'll go down a dark alleyway with, and you know guys that you won't go down a dark alleyway with, and that was a game that made you figure out if you wanted to go down that dark alleyway, and if you did, you better be prepared for something that was going to be really mind-boggling.
Who was the toughest guy in that team?
For the Bears?
The Patriots.
For us?
Yeah.
You. We had a few guys. I mean, we you know, John Hanna is somebody that, you know, you just love, and you just know he's going to bring it no matter what. He'll figure out why we're doing it later. Grogan, some of my defensive teammates, Don Blackman, Steve Nelson, Julius Adams. Hell, me and Don Blackman were so pissed off after the game. We walked on. People were still looking for us. Instead of taking the bus back, we walked. And
how
we
far
took
was
the long. It was a couple of blocks, but we took the long way around because we needed to talk it out. And
on the other end of the spectrum, it was Eason, right?
Yeah,
Eason wasn't the guy. No one liked Eason, including the head coach.
I loved Tony. Man, I hear people talk about Tony. Tony was a great guy. I played against Tony in college, so he went to Illinois. I went to the University of Iowa.
It was such a good pick, too, right?
Perfect.
Right ahead of Marino. All right, so you are here. By the way, how often do you rock the Pro Football Hall of Fame jacket?
I only pull it off for special occasions, and this week is a very special occasion for me. Obviously, we're here, and I'm working with K Jewelers this week. But as you guys know, K Jewelers is the official jeweler of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and they are the trusted creator of the Ring of Excellence, which obviously you guys see the ring over here, but and every new inductee gets a new ring from K Jewelers. It's an amazing company, and they've done a great job designing the Ring of Excellence, and I don't take it very lightly, and it's something that I cherish for and will cherish for a long time. Now, you all know that I've dropped a lot of quarterbacks in my day, but I've never dropped the ball on Valentine's Day, so we're promoting winning. And we're telling everyone, if you want to win on Valentine's Day, this year, you have to visit K Jewelers or you have to go to K.com to find the perfect gift. So, you know, the jingle, every kiss begins with K.
That's pretty good. You got a nice voice.
I'm trying. I'm trying.
All right, Andre Tippett, it's a pleasure, sir. Thanks for coming by, and it was a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you, guys. Enjoy yourselves this week, and it's going to be a great game on Sunday. Go Pats.
All right. We'll be right back here from Radio Row.
Live from Minneapolis on Radio Row.
Wake up.
Toucher and Rich, presented by Plymouth Rock Assurance, on the home of the game, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
What's up? We're Toucher and Rich. 617-779-0985. Bird must be on the phones today.
You see some good spelling going on there? Grammar?
Angelo has Super Bowl comments.
Oh, that's good. Thanks for being specific.
And you guys know Jimmy G will make more money than Brady during the Super Bowl due to taxes.
Yeah, we heard about that. Yes, that is true. But the one thing that is strange outside of Bird's inability to spell and use grammar correctly is the fact that I don't feel any kind of... I have no feeling as to what the buzz is about this as far as Patriots fans are concerned. Like, I don't know of any... Like, every other year, I've known of groups of people who were traveling to whatever the city was to go to the Super Bowl. I don't know of anyone this year who's going. Now, maybe I'm just...
I know a guy who's taking his two kids that are a kid's age.
Oh, really?
He's taking them by himself here on Friday and returning on Sunday.
You know where that guy's spending a lot of time? Here, in the Mall of America.
Yeah.
Because this is like essentially a kid's playground. I mean, there's like a million things. Because you can't really do much of anything else. I mean, it's going to be freezing. Matter of fact, on Friday he's getting here. Friday might be the coldest of all the days.
Yeah.
Friday it is set to be minus... It's a low of minus 10 and a high of 17 without the wind chill.
Yeah.
A low of minus effing 10. And then Super Bowl...
Super Bowl Sunday.
That's
ridiculous.
Here's the winner. Super Bowl Sunday is going to be a low of minus 12. And you know what the high is? Zero. You have a high of zero.
Now that's cold, but this, like, people bitching about the weather, like, leading up to this week, it's not like, I mean, it was warm over the weekend, but it's not like we live in a tropical paradise.
No, I understand, but if you're going to be traveling somewhere and spending the kind of money to get to a place, I wonder if that's turned people off, or if I'm completely misreading.
Well, here's the deal, is that I think that it's several things. And by the way, I put on Facebook if anyone was coming here, like any friends of mine that would know anything. And the only people that were coming were Philadelphia fans that were coming later in the week.
I see. I know of a ton of people. Actually, I don't know them personally, but I've seen on the internet every story about tickets being sold or about Eagles fans trying to buy them. You haven't heard anything about, like, Patriots fans.
No, because if I'm a Patriots fan who has the means to go to a Super Bowl, chances are I've already been to one or two. You know what? If I'm, like, one of those people with the money and that's a desire of mine to go to the Super Bowl,
yeah,
I've probably been to one or two. The only story that would make me go to the Super Bowl if I'm a Patriots fan who's attended one before is this the last one?
Yeah, that's the thing. That is the sell if you are going to come to this game, because in the years past, there's always been a story. The one 2 years ago was, okay, well, this will make Tom Brady have the amount of rings where you can say he's the greatest. He's in the conversation to be the greatest. He gets the fourth ring. The fifth one last year was that he is the greatest, and it was the Roger Goodell situation.
But also,
which many people could not wait to be at. And that was, out of all the ones, that almost seemed like the one that had the most passion was last year.
In
this one, nothing changes. If they win, Brady's still the greatest. Or if they lose, let's say they lose, Brady's still the greatest, Belichick's still the greatest, and it would just be another ring. It's just, it's kind of like, you know, adding to your treasure chest.
And you have to remember that a couple Super Bowls ago, and even this last one, people just assumed Brady wasn't going to play at a high level anymore.
Yep, yeah, you're right, yeah.
So if I'm, you know, thinking about going to the game, and believe me, I'd much rather be in Minneapolis than I would be in Houston or in Phoenix. I have, like, PTSD. why spend the money is what I would think.
Well, and that's the thing. Is that, and am I completely wrong in this? Is this the Super Bowl where Patriots fans have gotten complacent, where this is, it finally feels like old hat. Is this the game? Because it's the buzz, and it might be. And it, just because nothing really changes if they lose.
And if
like
I,
the stakes aren't as high. Doesn't it seem that way?
No, we were talking about this last week. I mean, if the Patriots get rolled in this game, and it's possible. Philadelphia was the best team in the NFL for the entire season. You know, they lost Wentz, but whatever. They still are here. If the defense dominates the Patriots and the Patriots lose this game 31-10, how many angry phone calls do we get Monday?
None.
None.
Exactly.
And by the way, the guy from Philadelphia that interviewed me, and he interviewed Rich too, but the guy from Philadelphia interviewed me, he's like, you know, we're you know, we really, you know, think the Eagles are going to win this game, and you know, we're super Eagles, and he's like, well, what? And he's like, what are you thinking? I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
I'm like, maybe.
Yeah, they're a good team.
It pissed them off.
I know. They want us to be like, all right. And I'm like, you got to understand, and we've done this so many times.
No, and also, I'm on the radio.
Right.
Like, I'm not carrying pom-poms.
Right. Like, well, put it this way, Fred. Let me ask you this. If, let's say, the Patriots lose, are there any videos of Patriots fans taking their televisions off the wall and throwing them off the balcony?
No.
And doesn't it really come down to that? Because if the Eagles lose, there's going to be a ton of people do that. And if last year the Patriots lost, there would be people taking their television.
Yes.
That's the world against us, and the world won.
And if the Patriots lost last year, there'd be much more buzz about it this
people
year.
Would yes. yes. People would have lost their minds last year.
Yep.
And I
yes.
think this might officially be the first year where Patriots fans, and it's, listen, no fault of their own, but might be complacent. The stakes are so much lower than it has been in the past.
And you see it too with other dynasties. Like you were around when Dallas won 3 out of 4.
Of course.
Right?
And
at the end of that, fans were entitled. Same thing with San Francisco.
Right.
I mean, the Braves couldn't sell out divisional playoff games.
That's right.
Because it was just sold old hat. And those were, you know, good teams that were relatively popular. All right. 617-779-0985. We will return. Hopefully, we can get audio from Zolak and Wiggins leading the troops out there at the big rally. We'll be right back.
I like them chocolate and thick.
Listen on the new 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Toucher and Rich are live on Rich.